to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. It has been a good week for June and I. We, of course, we always enjoy coming to Woodlawn, and it's just not as often as we would like, but this is a special place for us. Of course, we love the Tysons dearly and excited about what's happening here. But we want to thank you for permitting us to be a part of your missions family and your missions program, and just being able to be here and be a part of the conferences. This morning you mentioned it's been 5 years since the first conference that you scheduled after you started pastoring. So he was, I think it was in Sunday school, he was saying 2 years, 3 years, I forget how much, 5 years. Now I say that because it's always good for me when someone as young as Brother Tyson cannot remember how long, you know, how many years it was. That's encouraging. Amen. A lot of fellas here that can say the same thing. But it is a joy for us to be here and appreciate all that you've done. Appreciate your kind hospitality this week, your faithfulness to the services. We've talked some about faith promise, and especially the giving part, and we'll receive the commitment cards again tonight. But I want us to think tonight about faith promise living. Because if we do not understand the faith promise living part, it's going to be more difficult to be involved in the giving part. And if we learn, the more we learn to have confidence in God, the easier it is to commit. The more we trust Him, the easier it is just to let Him have a little bit more of us and do more in our lives that He wants to do. And so I want us to think about that faith promise living part. And it is simply, and I've stated this already this week, when God is ready to do something in your life or mine, then He puts it on our hearts. You know, we don't think of spiritual decisions on our own that need to be made. God puts them there. God puts on our hearts what He wants to do with us, in us, and through us. And then as we respond to Him, as we agree with Him about it, then He becomes active doing it. And the exciting part, you know, it's not always real exciting when he gets you where He wants you to be, to do what He wants you to do. That's a scary part. The exciting part is to get out yonder and be able to look back and see what He's done. And then you're able to stop and just realize, goodness gracious, I really had very little to do with that. All I did was get where God wanted me, and He did. Amen. Everything that was done. Amen. And He let me be a part of it. And you're able to recognize characters in the Bible more and realize, you know, Gideon did nothing except be where God wanted him to be. God did an amazing thing and let Gideon be a part of it. Used it to affect Gideon's life. Moses was not a great leader within himself, but when he gave his life to God, God did some amazing things. Moses had nothing to do with dividing that sea. God did that. But He let Moses be a part of that. And that's what happens when you and I make the commitment that God wants us to make. Then He's able to put us in a place to experience some things that we're going to be able to look back on and see how amazing it is. I look at a young man like Jeff and think about, you know, what lies ahead. Wouldn't you like to have a life to go back and start over and do something like that? And, you just don't know what God has planned. You do not know all that He's going to do. And the thing about it, you'll never know unless you get in it. You know, it's like swimming. You'll never learn how until you jump in. You got to get in the water. And you get in with God, then God becomes active in doing what we cannot do on our own. And, you know, you think about the song the choir sang. That's a great song. God is good all the time. No doubt about that. As a matter of fact, I was in a church. I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before or not, but I was in a church where every time the pastor came to the pulpit, he said, God is good. And the congregation said, all the time, God is good. And that's right, isn't it? And now I got off on something, forgot what I was going to say. But whatever I had on my mind, it was good. So you need to pray I remember what it was. But it's great to be where God is doing something and just enjoy what He's doing. And that's what we see here in Elijah. Now, you're familiar with this story. So instead of reading through it, let's just work our way through it. You're familiar with him going down by the brook and being fed by the ravens and all that went on there. But I want us to see step by step how God worked in his life just to get him to the place that he was able to move him to a new plateau of confidence in God. And that's what we need to do. We're not going to move from where we are to where we need to be 10 years from now, today. But we do need to move a step closer to that. We need to be going in that direction. And if we are, then 10 years from now, we'll be where God wants us to be. So let's pray and we'll look at this. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again tonight to open the Bible and to look at your word. And we pray that you would stir our hearts tonight with this truth of just faith, promise, living. Just having you speak to our hearts and us responding as we hear from you. Just simply doing what you tell us to do and then enjoy what you do and experience the miraculous things that you have for us. Speak to hearts tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Elijah comes on the scene quickly as far as ministry is concerned. Verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So we find that Elijah is not a hireling. He is God's man. He is willing to stand and represent God before the wicked king Abraham, announce God's judgment on Israel and the king, and just represent God as God leads him. So we find very quickly that he is God's man. Now, as soon as he does what God wants him to do at this particular time, then God moves him to another place, new step, a new endeavor, a new experience that's to bring him to a place that he experiences God and to increase his faith. Now notice how God does it. First of all, we see God giving the instructions to Elijah. Notice verses 2 and 3. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." Simple instructions. He just tells him where he wants him to go, where he wants him to be. And all he wants Elijah to do is listen to the simple instructions. We are getting instructions from every side. There are experts all around us who want to tell us how to live our lives, how to run our marriage, how to build our family. You can get all of the instruction you want. But the exciting thing about knowing the Lord is that you can get instructions from the Bible. You can understand truth. You can get what's needed to be right where God wants you to be, in a safe place, in a place that you may not understand all the time, but a place of protection in God's Word. Now, how does that happen? Well, we know we get instructions from the Bible. No problem there. We know that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart, gives us instructions as He uses the Word of God in our lives. But I think an important thing that we need to keep in mind is that God puts us in a place under authority often that we need to listen to, that we need to follow, that we need to hear from. And that must line up with the Word of God. That must fit the truth of God's Word in order for us to follow. But we, having the Holy Spirit of God living within us, we have a protection to know what's right, know what's wrong. We have a protection of knowing when something is questionable, when the authority is not in the right direction, when something is not being... But we need to realize the importance of being under authority and letting God speak to our hearts and guide us to the place where He wants us to be. That's where it all starts, with instruction. Getting instruction about where to be. Now, you've experienced that. Sometimes we followed wrong instruction and we know the trouble that comes. But what an exciting thing when we get where God wants us to be, where we know this is where He wants us to go. When June and I went to Bible school years ago, we'd been saved 4 years or so, but we had not grown much at all. I mean, we were just like brand new Christians. But I knew God wanted us in Bible school. And so we just quit our job, and sold our house, and took everything we owned and 4 kids and moved to Chattanooga to go to Bible school. And we knew practically nothing about serving the Lord, being involved. Now, we had been in a good church, but we'd gotten in this church, been there maybe 7-8 months. So we didn't have a lot of time to really get a lot. And so we moved to Chattanooga and moved in on a Friday. I went down in May, moved down in May so I could start in summer school and try to get back in, because I hadn't been to school for a while, and try to get back into the routine of school and studies and all of that. And so we moved down on a Friday. Sunday, we went to the church there. Big, you know, we were not used to the size church that was there, and we attended church. Went home Sunday afternoon, we're just relaxing, and there was a knock on the door. And I went to the door, and there's this little gray-haired man there, and he said, "I'm looking for Pat Creed." I said, "I'm Pat Creed." I was not gray-haired at the time. I hadn't started pastoring, didn't have a Christian school, so no gray hair at that time. I said, "I'm Pat Creed." He said, "My name is M.J. Parker." He said, "I'm over the bus ministry here at Highland Park Baptist Church." He said, "Next Saturday morning, we're having a bus meeting at 9:30. And he said, "I would like you to attend." I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." He said, no, it's not the way it works." He said, "This is the way it works." He said, "Next Saturday morning, we have a bus meeting at 9:30. He said, "You come to bus meeting, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you with a bus pastor." They called them bus pastors instead of captains at that time. And he said, "You're going to spend a number of months with a bus pastor. And that bus pastor is going to train you how to start and build a bus route. Now, after you're with that bus pastor for a number of months and you're ready, then we're going to give you your own route. You're going to go out there. You're going to take a route. It's going to be yours. And you're going to build, you're going to fill that bus with people. He said, now, after you have your own route, and you've been on it for a number of months, he said, then you pray. God, if you don't want me in the bus ministry any longer, get me out. He said, that's the way it works. Now, I didn't know much about, you know, biblical prayer and what he was talking about. So I said, okay, I'll be there Saturday morning. And so I went Saturday morning to that bus meeting, and sure enough, it worked out just the way he said it was going to work out, except by the time that it was time for me to pray about getting out, I forgot about it. You know, it was all over. I was in the bus ministry. But that was the place where God taught me how to work with people, how to have a heart for people. You see, you can go to Bible school and you can get a bunch of head knowledge out of textbooks and from teachers. You can read a lot of commentaries. You can get a lot of stuff out of commentaries and get it in your head. But the place that you get the Bible in your heart is in the church. The place you get a heart for serving God is serving God in the church. And the thing that I'm saying is, we need to make sure that we listen to the right instructions. Now, when someone comes to you and talks like that, it may seem like it's foolish or whatever, but the Holy Spirit of God is going to let us know if it does not line up with the Word of God. We don't have to worry about it as a Christian. We are going to know right and we're going to know wrong. And we're going to have the wisdom, if we're willing to listen, to choose the right instructions. And that's where it all begins. Because you see, once we get the right instruction, then we can move in the right direction. Then we can get in the right place so we can get what we need to be what God wants us to be. So it begins with instruction. Now let me give you a second thought. Once he gives the instructions, then he gives a promise. Now notice what he says here in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now you go through the scriptures, you'll find time and time and time again when God gives specific instruction, he gives a promise to go with it. You see it in different places. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you follow the instructions, then you're able to enjoy the promise. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the promise, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, we're not going to win people to Christ if we don't share the scripture. We're not going to see people saved if we do not invest in giving the scripture. If we are willing to follow the instruction, then God will make the promise. And God gives us the promises that we need. And so we see the person of the promise here. The person making the promise is God. God who will not lie. God who will not fail. God who will not mislead. When God makes a promise, you can count on it. But then you see the promise of the place. Look at it again. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Y'all circle it. There. You see, there is a there for all of us. I mean, tonight, every person in this building has a there for your life. Tonight, there is a place where God wants you to be so He can fulfill His promise to you. So He can get involved in your life. Being in the place where He wants you is so important. Being there. We will never make a mistake following God to the place He wants us. We will never be sorry that we made the decision when God gave the instructions to be in the place of His fulfilled promise. We all want the promise of God. We all want to experience the promise of God. We all want to enjoy the promise of God. We just do not want to make the commitment that puts us in that place. You see, God has a there for each one tonight in the matter of missions. God has a place He wants you in the missions program of Woodlawn Baptist Church. He has a commitment for you to make to get where He wants you. He doesn't have the same plan for every person here. He doesn't have the same amount. It's not a stamping the approval and everybody doing what someone wants to do. God has a decision. God has a direction He wants you to take. He has a place He wants you to be. See, God knows what is ahead this coming year. God knows what He wants to do in your life this coming year. He knows what He needs to make you. He knows what you need to go through. He knows what you need to experience. And He knows the commitment that puts you in that place. And sometimes it's not easy. But we need to listen to God's instruction. And we need to get in the place where He wants us to be. And then the third thing we see here. In verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Once God gave the instructions, once God made the promise, then God has to just stop. Because God cannot do anything. God cannot fulfill the instructions. God cannot fulfill the promise until there's obedience to the instructions. Until the steps are taken that He wants taken. Now this is the scary part for you and for me. This is the place that you and I have difficulty. Because we all have it figured out. How it can work out, how it will work out. How many times do you see people asking a question or going through a situation and somebody is quick to suggest what they ought to do? How many times do we give advice without stopping to wonder, what if I give the wrong advice? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they do what I say they should do, and it's not what they should do? Hey, listen, we've got to watch what we expect the person to do. When God says it, then we can depend on it. But now I want you to think about this obedience. Elijah just seemingly without question did what God wanted him to do. When God told him, here's where I want you to go, and here's what I'm going to do when you get there. I'm going to feed you. I've commanded the ravens. In other words, I have prepared what you're going to need. The brook's there for you to drink. I'm going to take care of you in that place. And he's waiting for Elijah to be obedient. The difficult part. Well, the reason it's difficult for you and me is that we want to know how it's going to work out before we agree with it. Huh? We want it all laid out. We want God to just open it up, pull the curtain, and show us exactly how he's going to do it. Now, we have no problem committing if God will show us how he's going to work it out. We think. Right? But here's the thing we need to remember. Get a hold of this. Understanding, when it comes to spiritual things, understanding comes with obedience. God does not give understanding to disobedient people. God does not give a peace to disobedient people. God does not give that sweet peace that comes when you know this is exactly what God wants and everything's going to be okay if I do what God wants. Amen. There's a peace there that is amazing when we just do what God wants us to do. When June and I left Independent Baptist Church, when I resigned as pastor, and I probably told you this before, but it just came to mind, the piece of the thing. I'll not go through the whole story, but I was 54 years old when I was faced with the position of Caribbean director with BIMI. Now, you don't make a major job change at 54, 55 years of age. It's just not a good time, especially when you're going from a salaried position to a no-salaried position. In other words, your husband comes home, ladies, and he says, hey, guess what? They've offered me director. And you say, man, that's great. That's great. You ought to take it. What's the pay? Oh, there's no pay. No pay with it, just position. We got to go out and drum up our pay some way. We got to go out there and convince people that they got to help us buy our groceries. That doesn't excite you too much, does it, huh? At home. 54 years of age, and we wrestled with that thing for 7 months. And finally, after 7 months, we realized that's exactly what God wanted. 55 years of age, pastoring Independent Baptist Church, salary good, no reason to resign. And we know that the day we resign, the salary stops. And the next day, there's no pay. We've got to start raising support while we're doing the job. 55 years of age. But I'll tell you what, we had a peace that's exactly what God wanted. We had a peace that was amazing. There was no question. There was no worry. There was no concern. Now, man, that is an amazing thing. That is an exciting place to be. But you know where that comes from? Obedience. It comes from just agreeing with God. Now, I'm not here to say that I've always agreed with God and always made the right decision, but I'll tell you what, it's been enjoyable when I did. When you go through a time like that, and then you see God, and I could tell you ways God worked that out, that was just amazing how God did it. And he just moves you leaps and bounds to new levels of confidence in him. And he's just looking for some people. He's just looking for some folks who will say, I'll trust you. Huh? I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll just be obedient. Now, once you're obedient, look at verse 6. In verse 6 it says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. As soon as he got where God wanted him, as soon as he was obedient, then God supplied exactly the way he said he would. God took care of his every need. Now think about this. Here's Elijah getting down there. Can you picture him getting down there maybe in the afternoon? And boy, he sets up camp maybe, and then the stomach starts growling a little bit. And he gets a little hungry, and all of a sudden he hears a strange noise. And he looks up, and here are a bunch of birds coming over the treetops. And they hit the treetops, and they just set their wings and right into camp. And they bring him exactly what he needs to eat for that meal. Next morning, same thing. Twice a day, every day, those birds delivered what God promised him. Now, here's the thing that you and I need to get a hold of. God has already commanded our need to be met. Now picture it. He has already commanded your need to be met where he wants you, doing what he wants you to do. Huh? See what he's saying? He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for mine. He wants commitments made in this conference. And he has already commanded the need to be met according to the obedience to that commitment that he wants. And that's what Faith Promise Living is all about. June and I, when we resigned Independent Baptist Church, when I resigned, a deacon got up the night that I resigned. Of course, Mike became pastor, and it was my last night, and we had a service, and a deacon got up. We had no idea. But this deacon got up and said, now, folks, we know what Pastor Miss Creed are getting ready to do. Here's what we want to do. He said, we want to pay their complete salary just the way it is and mention the number of months. And then he said, after that, for a number of months, and he mentioned a number of months, we want to support them for $1,000 a month. And then at the end of that, we want to support them permanently for $500 a month. Now, what he said that night and what that church did took us right through the transition. And every need was met. Hey, God already had that planned. Huh? God already had that planned. But we were not going to experience it until we were obedient. If we had never done what God wanted us to do, we would never have experienced what God did in taking care of us. I told you about that bus pastor thing. I was in the bus ministry, spent a couple of years. And after a couple of years in the bus ministry, I had my own route in North Chattanooga, and we enjoyed that. Man, we built a route and just had a great time running in North Chattanooga, and I could tell you many stories about that. I'll not get into that part of it, but it's exciting. You're missing it because I'm not going to tell you. It's going to... But this same guy, M.J. Parker, came back to me after a couple of years. And he said, Brother Creed, he said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to give up your bus route, and I want you to assist me. I want you to become my assistant in the bus ministry. Now, it sounded good. It's another one of those things that sounds good. Assistant. The only problem was it meant I had to quit my job. I was working 3 to 11 every night, feed my family, pay the rent. Wasn't making a lot of money, but it was keeping our nose above water. What he wanted me to do as his assistant, he wanted me to help him start bus routes and work on starting. The way we did that, we had this, we'd take this, what was it, 8-millimeter projector? Is that what it was? You remember those film? Who's old enough to remember? We would take a projector and a gospel film out in a community, and we'd ask somebody to let us plug it into their one of their outlets, and we'd set it up almost dusk. We'd go around and visit. Wasn't a lot of television then and all that stuff. I mean, there was television, but yeah, I'm not that old. I'm alive, but and we would have people saved, and that's the way we'd start bus routes and build bus routes. So he wanted me to quit my job. And, man, I prayed about it, thought about it, but God gave me peace about it. I said, okay, I'll do it. So I quit my job, didn't have anything coming in. This guy came to me, and he said, Brother Creed, I understand you need some income. He said, I've got these paper routes, 600 papers. That I put these paper routes together. So if you want, said you can have that paper route. And that was good because that's the only slot I had was 4 to 6 in the morning. Wow. So I started throwing newspapers. Now that didn't pay the bills. But Parker came to me again. And he said, Brother Creed, he said, I want you to go to this door and knock on the door. A fellow by the name of Dave will come to the door. You tell him I sent you. So I went over this door, knocked on the door. Dave came to the door. I said, Dave, Parker sent me. He said, stay right here. So he went back in. He came out, and he had a whole stack of food. He had a plate of Salisbury steak and a plate of mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans and biscuits. Man, I took that home. My kids hadn't had anything like that since we left Maryland. And they ate that, and I saw Parker the next day. He said, you go to that door? I said, yes. He said, how would you like to go to that door every day? I said, I think I can handle that. For months, God fed us 2 meals a day from that door. Why? Huh? It's exciting when you're able to look back and know God did it. Amen? Amen? But listen to me. Until we make the commitment, we never get to experience that. And that's why we miss so much. We miss so much, I'm sure, because we're afraid to take the step. Huh? We're afraid to make the decision. Man, all of us ought to have more stories like that than we can shake a stick at. Huh? We ought to have, but we don't, because we don't get in the place that God can prove himself. Now, what happens when you get going? You get to enjoying what God's doing, and you get to enjoy what God's supplying. But you know the danger of having God's blessings is that we get used to it. And for some reason, if we hang around and under God's blessings very long, pretty soon we just forget it's God and we think it's us. So what has to happen? Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The testing has to come. You see, if the test does not come, we don't get our eyes back on God. And he has to have us giving our attention to Him in order to give us new instructions. Because once we learn that, once we experience that, then God wants to move us to a new place. I don't mean physically. He just wants us to move us to a new place in our spiritual life. He wants a new experience. So what does He do? He dries the brook up. The problem you and I have when this happens is so often we think God's dried up. When God hasn't dried up, He just needs our ear. He just needs us to listen because there's going to be fresh instructions. You see in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, new instructions, new place, new experience. God's going to move him to a new level because he's got somebody to listen to him. Let me challenge you tonight. Ask God to not let you miss what he's trying to do in your life. Don't let fear defeat you. Don't let instructions from somebody that does not know what they're talking about derail you. Don't get on some detour because you have your own fleshly desires. The most exciting place to be is right on track with God. Just letting Him take it step by step. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What's God trying to do in your life? Where's He trying to move you? What commitment is He trying to get from you? What step does He want you to take? He's working in all of our lives. If you're a child of God tonight, He is working in your life. What's He doing? How many folks would you say tonight, preacher, please pray that God will not let me miss what He's doing in my life. I want to be right where I can experience His activity. Would you slip your hand up all over the building? Why don't you do business with Him tonight? Why don't you get alone with Him and just ask Him? Hey, He knows our heart. Just ask Him, God, don't let me miss it. Let's stand as we pray. Father, bless the invitation. I pray for these that have raised their hands, others, and ask that You would make this a special time as we just listen to You. Bless tonight, we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, unless you're moving forward. Why don't you come? Maybe God's dealing with you about just giving your life to Him. Maybe you need to share with Pastor and let him know what God's doing in your life. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe God's calling you in a very definite way. Why don't you just let Him have your life? You come.